Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the past few years, we have seen an explosion of so-called life hacks. Life hacks are tricks or tips that make life easier. They are simple, inexpensive ways to solve problems or get better performance. You've probably seen these shared on the internet with attractive step-by-step photos or videos. There are life hacks for almost every aspect of life. Here is a household hack you might find helpful. Before you leave for the grocery store, snap a picture on your phone of the inside of your refrigerator. Then, when you're shopping, if you can't remember whether or not you need mustard, you can take a look inside your fridge from your own pocket. There are health hacks. One very popular one is called bulletproof coffee. Does anyone do this? This involves blending your hot morning coffee with butter and coconut oil. The combination of caffeine and healthy fats delivers something called ketones directly to your brain, which gives you more energy and mental clarity throughout the day. My husband is a firm believer in bulletproof coffee. And there are, of course, endless technology hacks. For example, if your battery on your phone is running really low and you need it, maybe you're driving or something like that, you can switch the screen from color to black and white and save a tremendous amount of battery power. Finally, a business hack for all of you salesmen out there. Thursday between 4 and 5 p.m. is, statistically speaking, the most successful time of the week to make cold calls. The list goes on and on, but you get the idea. Life hacks are simple ways to solve problems, save time and energy, and just generally have a better day. In our lesson today, James gives us a life hack of his own, one simple trick that will make our lives easier and our relationships healthier, a quick way to live an upright moral life and avoid sin. What is it? Keep your mouth shut. James shows us just how powerful our speech is. It can make or break us in the Christian life. He says, "Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Our tongues, our words, determine the direction of our entire lives. With our words, we can heal relationships, comfort the hurting, ask for help, ask for forgiveness, encourage the downhearted, speak the truth, protect the innocent, and express our love. If we use our words well, they can lead us deeper into the kingdom of God. But of course, the opposite is true too. If our words have the power to build up, they also have the power to destroy. In a matter of seconds, in just a few words, our words can destroy a relationship, wound our spouse, hurt a child, incite violence, or simply make a fool of ourselves. As James puts it, "How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those that are made in the likeness of God." So there is James's life hack, a simple trick to master morality. Tame your tongue. It's simple, but far from easy. When emotions run high, when we are exhausted, when someone pushes our buttons, taming the tongue becomes, as James says, more difficult than taming a wild animal. That is why it takes a lifetime of practice. James is not, of course, the only writer in the Bible who understood just how powerful our words can be. Both the Old and New Testaments are full of admonitions to keep your mouth shut, to listen more, and speak less. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Ephesians says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." And Jesus himself said, "On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." That's sobering and should give us pause before we open our mouths, or in this digital age, before we take to our keyboards. We are in an age when civil discourse is at an absolute low. We have forgotten how to talk to one another. When we can hide behind our computer screens, it is easy to lob insults at fellow human beings without ever having to see the damage it causes. It has become not only acceptable, but fashionable to tear down people who think differently than we do, to call them names and mock them, and make jokes about them. But when we use our words in such an irresponsible and damaging way, we are the ones who look like fools. Not long ago, I was talking with my therapist about how impatient I am and how I often make things worse by jumping in and speaking too soon. She introduced me to this helpful little acronym, WAIT. W-A-I-T. She said, "You know what WAIT stands for, right? Why am I talking?"
I have found this tool incredibly annoying, but also very helpful. Lately, I have been trying to remember to wait, to consider my words before I speak, to really weigh whether they are going to build up or destroy. It's amazing how difficult it is, but also, those few times that I manage it, how powerful it is. What a difference it can make in my day, in my marriage, or in the life of this church. So let's ask God to help us tame our tongues and our typing fingers. We can pray in the words of the psalmist, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Amen.